Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of Gospel on the Go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today will be part two of a little short mini-series, two-part mini-series, that we started last time that's entitled Facts or Feelings. Actually, I think last time I confused the words. I think I said feelings first, then facts, but it doesn't matter. If you were with us last time, and if I didn't confuse you, we talked about how easy it is for us as Christians to allow our feelings to control our relationship with God, to control how we think about God, to control how we feel God is viewing us. You don't want to be led by your feelings. In fact, as we saw last time, Jeremiah 17:9, scripture is clear. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's wicked. Our feelings can deceive us. Our feelings fluctuate based upon various different circumstances throughout the day. So you don't want to be driven by your feelings, and you certainly don't want your faith to be dependent upon your feelings. Because one day you're going to feel like, oh, God loves me. The next day, oh, God doesn't love me. Oh, the one day God, has saved me. The next day, well, I'm not sure I'm saved. Can anybody currently relate? Friends, you don't want your feelings to lead you. You want facts, biblical truth, biblical facts, God's unchanging, perfect word of truth to be that anchor for your faith. You want God's truth to control your feelings. So the more you saturate yourself with facts, God's unchanging truth, the better your feelings will be kept in check. Because as we saw last time, boy, our feelings can truly deceive us. In fact, we discussed one deception that our feelings love to cause us to, you know, to start getting tossed all over the place. The one deception is Christian. Have you ever said, God is not with me? Bad theology. As we saw last time, that's impossible because God is omnipresent. He is fully with you at all times because he's omnipresent. But your feelings, when you're going through something, very often will lead you to say, well, God's not with me. That's not biblical fact. That is not truth because God is omnipresent. We saw another potential deception by our feelings. When things are kind of getting a little chaotic in your life and you start to go, God has forgotten me. Well, friends, that's impossible because God is omniscient. God knows the end from the beginning. God has never forgotten anything. In fact, God has never learned anything new because he's omniscient. He knows all things, including everything about you. God hasn't forgotten you, Christian. By the way, you start to doubt that? Just take a look at the cross. You really think God has forgotten you? No, God has saved you. You're his child. He's always with you because he's omnipresent. and he never forgets you because he is omniscient. And the more God's truth gets into your mind, sinks down into your heart, the better your feelings will be kept in check. You never want your faith to be based on your feelings. You want your faith to be based on biblical truth, facts from God. But those feelings are deceptive, aren't they? Not only will they cause us to say, well, God has left me or God has forgot me. Have you ever had your feelings lead you to say the following? God is mad at me. Oh, I think I hid the bullseye. God is mad at me. Boy, we as Christians, I mean, we're not perfect. I mean, we understand what Christ did for us, that we are forgiven our sins in terms of that day of judgment. But because we still have a sin nature here on earth, man, we sin, don't we? In our thoughts, our heart attitude, our words, our actions. And immediately when we sin, well, I guess God's mad at me. He's going to drop the hammer on me. Christian, bad theology. What do I mean? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Look at verses 1 through 4. Look what God declares about you now, Christian. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Why? Because Christ was condemned in your place as the perfect substitute. Your sins were placed on him. God's wrath, God's condemnation was poured out on Christ instead of on you. And Christ appeased, satisfied, propitiated God's wrath towards you. That's why, Christian, God declares about you now no condemnation. Why? Because he sees the perfect righteousness of Christ credited to your account. And there's no condemnation for Christ's righteousness. And God doesn't change his mind on that. God's wrath, God's just condemnation towards you has been satisfied, appeased. Because of Christ, his perfect life lived, his perfect atonement accomplished. That perfect righteousness of Christ is credited to your account. That's why God can declare about you now. There is now no condemnation. For whom? Those who are in Christ Jesus. Christian, that's you. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Can't earn your salvation by trying to obey the law. It just leads to death. But Christ perfectly paid the law for you. Christ perfectly paid for your lawlessness in your place. Verse 3, for what the law could not do, i.e. save you, weak as it was, because of our flesh, there's nothing wrong with the law. It's God's holy law. Problem is us. We're lawbreakers. What the law could not do, save you? Guess what? God did. Saved you. How? He sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, and he, God, condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us because of Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We often let our feelings deceive us. We sin as believers, and we do. We don't want to. But we do. And immediately we start feeling, oh, God's mad at me. God's going to drop the hammer on me. God's going to kick me out of his family. Bad theology. Stay in Romans 8. Look at verses 14 through 18. All who are being led by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who regenerates you, who seals you, who leads you. These are the sons of God. You're a child of God, Christian. For you've not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, as though God is like this ogre, you know, godfather. No. You've received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. He's your loving heavenly Father. You're his child. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with him. God is your heavenly Father. Yeah, before you were saved, you viewed him as like this, you know, who's just going to drop the hammer on you all the time. But that's not how he is, Christian, towards you. In fact, just stay here in Romans 8, start in verse 28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. For whom? To those who love God. Who are those who love God? Those who have been called into a saving relationship with God through Christ according to God's purpose. That's you, Christian. God works all things out. Yes, even including your sins. Not that God wants you to sin. Not that God ignores your sin. But God knows we're going to sin. We have a sin nature. We're saved sinners, right? Now, when we get to glory, we'll no longer have a sin nature. Praise God, we'll never struggle with sin. But on this side of heaven, we do. But guess what? God even works all of that out for our good. And what's the good? The highest good God has for us? Verse 29. Those whom God foreknew, he also predestined. Why? Here's our highest good. To be conformed to the image of his son. To make you more Christ-like. Now, Christ never sinned. We do, unfortunately. But God will even work through sin, your suffering, good things that come your way, the challenging things that come your way, good people in your life, challenging people in your life. God will work all that out for your highest good, which is to make you more and more to the image and likeness of Christ. That's why he saved you. So that you can bring glory and honor to your triune God. Hop down to verse 31. Oh, no, let's start. No, I'm sorry. Stay in verse 29. God predestined you to be conformed to the image of his son so that he'd be the firstborn among many brethren. Those whom God predestined, that's you, Christian, he also called into a saving relationship. These whom he called, God's already justified you, declared you not guilty and righteous in his sight because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to you. He's justified you. Those whom he justifies, he's already glorified. It's a done deal. It's a guarantee. He's not going to kick you out of his family. Paul says, oh, this is amazing. Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us? Answer, no one. He, God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, the elect. How will he, God, not also with him, Christ, freely give us all things? That which he began in our life, he'll bring to completion. Verse 33, who's going to bring a charge against God's elect? Answer, no one. Why? Because God is the one who has declared us justified. God's not going to change his mind. Verse 34, who's the one who condemns? Answer, no one. Why? Christ is he who was condemned for you in your place. He died. Yes, he also was raised. And what is Christ doing in heaven right now for you? He's at the right hand of God and he is interceding for you, praying you home. God is angry at you? What does God call his son? My beloved. What does God call those who are in the Son, my beloved? That's why Paul says, verse 38 and 39, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. God's going to drop the hammer on you, Christian, because you sinned? No, That's bad theology. Hop over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 9. Christian, God has not destined us for what? Wrath. But for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Don't let your feelings drive your faith. Let God's truth, biblical facts, control your feelings and solidify your faith. Now, does that mean when we as Christians sin, God just kind of, you know, he's like that grandfatherly kind of Santa Claus type God, says, no problem, you know, I love you. Well, he's not going to drop the hammer on us, not angry at us. He already poured out his wrath on his son in our place, and God's wrath towards us is satisfied. But when we sin, God knows that's not good for us. It certainly doesn't bring glory to him, and it's not good for us, right? So what is God going to do when we sin? Not ignore it. Certainly not cast us out of his family. But you know what God's going to do? He's going to show his great love towards you. Well, how's that? He's going to discipline you because you're his child. Hop over to Hebrews chapter 12. Yeah, did you know that one of the ways that you can be assured of your salvation, that you're a child of God, is when you experience discipline from God? Doesn't mean he's angry with you. Doesn't mean he's going to drop the hammer on you. He loves you. Let me show you what the writer of Hebrews says about that. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4, he says to the audience he's writing to, you've not resisted to the point of shedding blood and you're striving against sin. I mean, think of Christ, right? There in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood. Father, not my will, but your will be done. Well, the writer says, look, yeah, it's hard for us on as Christians on this side of heaven to struggle against sin because we have a sin nature and we live in a fallen world. But he says, don't feel like you're some victim or something when you struggle. He goes, because you haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood like Christ did, right? And by the way, verse 5, the writer says to believers, have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you, Christian, as sons? And then he quotes from Proverbs 3, where God says, my son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you're reproved by him. Why? Look at verse 6. For those whom the Lord, what? Loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. My parents constantly disciplined me. And my 88-year-old mother, though she's very sick and lives with us, she still disciplines me. Ugh. But why is it my parents didn't discipline kids down the street like they disciplined me? Answer, because those kids were not their kids like I was. My parents showed their love to me as their son because they wanted the best for me as their son. And one of the ways they showed love to me was hugging me. Another way they showed love to me was disciplining me. Both are forms of love from loving parents to their son. Again, why didn't my parents worship kids down the street? Or not worship, but discipline kids down the street? It's not their kids. Well, that's what the writer here is saying. Again, verses 5 and 6. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Don't faint when he reproves you as though he's going to drop the hammer on you and he's angry at you. No! For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. And then he goes on, verse 7. Christian, it is for discipline that you endure. Because God is dealing with you as sons. One of the ways, again, as I said earlier, that you know that you're saved, it's when you're experiencing the loving discipline from God, because you're his child. For what son is there whom his father's human father did not discipline. Verse 8, if you're without discipline, of which we all have been partakers, then you're illegitimate children and not sons. Again, kids down the street were not children of my parents. And one of the ways was to prove that my parents didn't discipline them like they disciplined me, their son. Verse 9, furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. I mean, not always. My father, big teddy bear, he's now home with the Lord. Teddy bear, right? Both my parents from Europe, and my mother, old school European mother. Oof. She and I, when I was younger, we went at it like this. And she would use anything that she could get her hand on to discipline me, her rebellious son. Well, as I got a little older, I got a little cockier towards her, right? And I could easily grab something she wanted to throw at me or whatever. But at times when she felt she couldn't do anything to stop me, she would simply say, wait until I tell your father when he comes home. Now, my father, like I said, you want to talk about a teddy bear. But whenever I disrespected his wife, my mother, the grizzly bear came out. Okay. Wait until I tell your father when he comes home. He was a professor at a university, anatomy and physiology, and he's spending time all day in labs and doing all that. He comes home, he just wants peace in the home, right? And then my mother would tell him what I, their rebellious son, did or said to her. My father would just simply pull off his belt and say, get in the room. Yeah, it was discipline time. And my father would often say, as he was about to discipline me, son, I love you. And this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. And one time, after he said that, I kind of look up and I go, well, if that's the case, Dad, can we just forget this discipline thing? Whack! I never doubted his love or my mother's love for me. I knew I was their child. I knew that they loved me. And discipline from them, though it wasn't pleasant always on my end, I knew it was for my good. Well, the writer here says, verse 9, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they, our earthly parents, disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them. But he, our heavenly Father, disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. He wants to make us more like Christ. Verse 11, all discipline for the moment is not very joyful. Amen to that. But it's sorrowful. Amen to that. Yet to those who've been trained by it, afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Is God angry at you, Christian? No. He poured out his just anger and wrath on his beloved son in our place. And Jesus said, paid in full. It is finished. That means God's wrath will never come against you, Christian, because the Father sees the righteousness of his beloved son imputed to your account. You're a child of God in the family of God forever. Nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. Well, does that mean we can just go and sin and live how we want here on earth? Come on, no. If God the Holy Spirit's in you, as we saw in Romans 8, those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are true sons of God. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to rebel against God. He's not going to lead you to sinfulness. He's going to lead you to holiness, to Christ's likeness. But there are going to be times when we still sin. What does that mean? God's going to drop the hammer on me? His wrath's coming out? No. Instead, his loving spiritual belt or spoon's going to come out. And he's going to discipline you for your good in his glory. Christian, we need discipline so that we don't drift, so that we don't step into traps, so that we don't dishonor our holy triune God who loved us so much from eternity past that look what was accomplished for us. Christian, don't let your feelings cause you to start doubting truth about God, his unchanging truth. God is omnipresent. He's always with you. God is omniscient. He'll never forget you. And God is unchanging. He's immutable. When he declares about you, Christian, there's now no condemnation in you. God's not going to change his mind when you sin. God's not going to say, "Yeah, you're out of the family." No. Instead, he will show his love towards you because you're his child. He wants what's best for you, to be conformed to the image and likeness of Christ. So guess what? Don't despise his discipline. Don't grow faint when you experience that, because God is expressing his love towards you and showing you you're truly in his family. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.